Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 236. I was going to say top of the day to you, Tom, but Tom's not here. In his place is the first substitute. I'm subbing you in, Rose.
I've always enjoyed being the first substitute.
Yeah, well, you know, like if, for example, you're a teacher and you're a substitute teacher. But if you're the substitute teacher at the top of the list, you get all the jobs.
I don't think anyone on this planet would ever want to be a substitute teacher by choice.
Necessity. Okay. Mm. All right. Let me give you another analogy then. Your first sub, which means in a sporting match, the coach has picked you to be the first one on the game, like first one swapping someone out on the field.
I don't know if you can see me, but
not interested.
Do I look like the kind of person who watches sports? No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. I've got it. All right.
Yeah.
You are the, I can't remember what it's called. Not the undertaker. The understudy. You are the understudy for the, for Natalie Portman. Oh, is she the understudy in Black Swan?
Yep. I get where you're going with this, but you lost me at understudy because I'm the star of
okay.
the show.
Okay, star of the show. Welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I know it's taken a little while. It's a couple of minutes of trying to get the introduction right, but did it.
Yay.
That will not be edited at all because I feel it's important to get, you know, the true spirit
establish
of
establish who I am as a person.
And,
yeah.
And I how agree. It started. Speaking of establishing, I want to know, just like quick rundown, what kind of shows you like, and if you watch more, I don't know, TikTok-y stuff than actual shows.
So I will put it on the table now.
Good.
I have the most shocking taste in media. I'm not ashamed. It's been a journey, and I've come to the resolution now where I'm not ashamed of who I am and who I have become. I also did go to film school, so I feel like I am allowed to curate my media intake more and make it sound more wanky because, I went to film school.
So. Yeah, I went. I'll have you know I went to film school.
Yeah, well, Honey Boo Boo, masterpiece. Cinematic masterpiece.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What about Real Housewives of Insert City?
Yes. I can get around it, but to be honest, my style taste is a little bit more eclectic. Mm-hmm. It ranges between shows like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes.
I will not even.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. Mm. I watch it religiously.
Good.
It's a lifestyle. It's a culture.
Yeah.
RuPaul's Drag Race. And then I do love any kind of crime or horror, but my partner is the biggest wimp ever. So I don't get to watch it that often, but I still hold it dearly in my heart.
So when you say crime, are you talking crime drama or true crime docos?
Oh, both.
Okay.
Anything crime. I have a sick, twisted mind, so give it all to me. I like listen to crime podcasts and do my makeup and I'm like, her legs were cut off. And I'm like, lip liner time.
That's great. But we all know that true crime podcasts are probably the biggest sort of podcast you can you can have. So I don't think you're strange for that.
Yeah.
I think you've just got to be like, I'm part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm part of that.
We're
that
all sick and twisted,
me. All
of us.
Yeah, I agree. Now, okay, so you sort of, if it's on Real Housewives, obviously Real Housewives, people who watch Real Housewives have got very particular places. So if you say Dallas, they go yes or no, or New York, oh gosh, no, or hell yeah. So there's taste with it. There's different tastes within that. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to just get a little bit of another idea of what you like. I'm going to throw my favorite reality show, Below Deck, in there. What do you think? Ooh. Have you seen any of it?
Yes, I have. But in a non-traditional media format. So I am of the generation that's right in between millennial and Gen Z. So yep. A lot of my feeds on TikTok especially are little clips of reality shows, and that is how I...
That's how you consume the shows?
Or at
least have a context.
Yeah, like it's 50-50, but yep. Below Deck, I haven't watched a single episode on any streaming platform, but okay. I have watched hours of content on TikTok, so... Yeah.
I reckon it's probably not that much different.
I don't, and you know what? It's all the good bits too.
Yeah.
You know, you establish the context with your own little tiny brain falls together from there.
I love it. Mm-hmm. You would have to have seen Captain Lee, the guy with the white hair, the beard, mm-hmm. angrily in he doesn't have a shirt on, just slamming the doors, the sliding doors shut into the super yacht going, "God damn it." That's my favorite part of the whole.
I always just, you know, disassociate and wish that I was one of those incredibly entitled guests.
Mm.
But I'm too much of a people pleaser, let's be honest. I could never be that rude to the staff. But.
I have to tell you something about that show.
Oh, I'm ready.
I don't know about all of them, but I assume this is right. Because I have been told by someone who was a guest on Below Deck, a particular Below Deck, that not all the guests know each other. So you might have six guests on there.
Uh-huh.
They don't all know each other. The producers have put them on that day or that shoot together.
This news makes me happy because it instills a sense of hope.
Hope?
Mm-hmm. That people aren't that... Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, Tom does it all the time.
Absolutely shitty.
That's not even a swear word for Tom. I think it makes sense why sometimes the guests are like, someone gets hammered drunk and they go, "I don't know the person." Like they strike them off. Mm-hmm. And it's because they really don't know them. No idea who they are. Mm.
Yeah, interesting.
I love knowing stuff like that because we all know things like Real Housewives, all scripted, right?
Yeah.
It's basically a drama
slash
comedy. But, you know, those kind of offshoot ones where you're like, oh, okay. It's so...
See, I'm of the opposite opinion, personally. This is why I have such a shit taste in media because in film school you really have to dissect every single... anything, right? Yeah. And understand the metaphors and the prep, everything. So when I'm watching a shitty piece of reality content, I just want to believe that I am better than these people. It's happening in real time. Mm. It's happening just as is. I can sit on my couch and eat cheese and crackers and go, ha-ha.
They're so weird.
I'm so smart. And you are not.
Yeah, and you're just so dumb. It's kind of like back in the day, like the 80s and 90s when they had the talk shows, like your Jerry Springers.
Yep.
And you'd be like, ha, ha, those people are so dumb.
Uh-huh.
But I'm the one watching them.
It's just a minefield of neurological interest of these people that are in a cage. You know, monkeys. What's the saying? Monkeys in a cage.
Yeah. I just got a line to a song in my head though. In spite of my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. I think that might be a Smashing Pumpkins quote. It doesn't really apply to what you're saying.
Well, it's an animal in a cage.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor. You see.
Yeah.
Film school.
Yeah. Film school.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by successfully reverse parking in one attempt. Those moments make you feel like one of the greatest stunt drivers that ever lived. In fact, upon stepping out of your car, there should be an audience surrounding you, applauding your skills and talents. The bean growing season has once again come to an end for the year. While this is always a solemn moment for the town, it's also an exciting one as the beanstalk measuring competition is about to take place. Last year's winner, Sandy, said that using a plastic 30-centimetre ruler to measure how high these plants grew probably wasn't the best tactic. A retraceable measuring tape is what she's planning on using this year. She said that trying to climb Jack's beanstalk while attempting to accurately count out its length in 30-centimetre increments was a bit difficult. Other competitors used their feet, hands and standard-sized Mars bars as measuring tools, but couldn't get close to Sandy's ruler method. Eddie Winterbottom has finished his 220-day walk in the time-slash-space vortex woods in upper northern Watchersville County. He lost 17 kilos, his backpack, half of his shin hair and swimming goggles. When asked how his experience was, his eyes glazed over, his body shivered, and he said, "I don't think I should talk about this just yet." He's just signed a book publishing deal, though, so expect his memoir by Christmas. The local chapter of Meddling Mothers Association has requested some privacy as they go through the difficult process of finding a new chairperson. The last one who shall not be named has left town. All traces of the last one who shall not be named has been wiped not only from their records, but all official government agencies too. While this is amazing drama and we wish we could find out all the hot gossip, it's quite nice to have some time away from the relentless meddling. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
You will be here for the first half of this here podcast.
Woohoo.
And then Edan's going to come in and help me review the finale of Obi-Wan. Dude. I know. He likes film stuff too.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd share the load. So are you ready to crack on into this news?
I am so ready.
Brilliant. The first one I want to tell you about is a Hallmark casting.
Mm-hmm.
For the Hallmark Channel. How do you feel about Hallmark Christmas movies?
As soon as you said Hallmark, my little toes just curled up like a Christmas stocking.
Ready for it.
That was a stretch, but you get the visual. Mm. I love Hallmark movies. The shittier, the better. I'm there.
Yep, definitely. We always make it a tradition now to have Stephanie from Tech Live Podcast come in every December and we discuss Amazing. The newest Hallmark-type movies because she's right across them.
So good.
They just make you feel Christmassy.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Excellent. Well, Andie MacDowell, you know Andie MacDowell, she's been in lots of different things over the years. Well, she's going to be in one of the Hallmark dramas.
Oh.
With the most Hallmark name ever.
Yeah, right.
The Way Home.
Oh.
Yeah. So you think, okay, so it's someone trying to get home.
Uh-huh.
But apparently there's a time travel twist in there as well.
Oh, that's very extra for a Hallmark movie.
That's what I thought, right? I mean, a lot of shows and movies now like to do flash forwards and backs like that. Mm-hmm. That's pretty standard, but a twist in there as well. We'll have to wait till next year for all of this to come out. So it's not a Christmas one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a standard Hallmark movie. But I can give you a bit of a synopsis. So it's the lives of three generations of women within a family and spans years by the way of time travel shift. So she's going to play a lady who for more than 20 years has been estranged from her daughter, and then some sort of life-changing event brings them together. Wah, wah, wah.
I'm not sure the Hallmark audience is ready for this.
But they'll watch it because it's got Andie MacDowell.
Yes. Anything Hallmark, I will be there.
Cameron may not be in it yet, but she probably will be.
Mm.
I feel like she's in everything that they do. There's also blokes, right? And you've never seen them before unless you watch Hallmark movies because they are the love interest in every Hallmark movie.
Yeah, and they all look exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So that's exciting. Get on board for that. Keep your eyes out. It's going to be brilliant. Do you or have you ever seen the program Umbrella Academy?
Oh, I have. I am a huge Elliot Page fan.
Yes.
I have not seen the new season, but I am very excited to see the way that they have introduced his transition.
Yep.
I think it's so necessary in mainstream media to start conversations like that.
Absolutely. And I did read something where Elliot said to the directors, writers, like creators, I can still play, I can't remember her name.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. Anyway, whatever. Vanya.
I can still play Mary. Vanya.
I was like, it's going to come to me. It starts with a V. I can still play Vanya. I don't mind. And they went, no. We're going to We're going to change the character.
Progressive queens.
So really cool.
Amazing.
I have seen the first few episodes and yes.
Lots of feelings.
Yeah. Super fun.
Amazing.
Super fun. Mm-hmm. I haven't finished all of it because I'm not going to binge it. I just want to take my time.
Take your time. Yeah, it deserves that.
So I'm not going to give anything away with the finale because I don't know it. I don't know it. And I had to tread through these articles really carefully not to give myself any spoilers. But the showrunner, Steve Blackman, already has plans for season 4, but is awaiting Netflix to renew it. I think they will.
Well, you know what? I know Netflix isn't very likely to renew shows past season 3.
Yes.
But I think It's topical content, and I know the first two seasons were very popular. So, yeah, it could go either way. To be honest, it could go either way. But I think Elliot deserves more limelight.
There is enough star power in that that series to, I think, let that show wrap up in season 4.
Yes, agreed. And it's all the cast are coming back to me now, and they are all just so incredibly talented. And what's the brother with the eyeliner and the funky pants?
Luther, of course, is the massive one. I think he's number one or whatever they call him. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Klaus or Klaus?
Yes. Yes.
They say?
Yes.
They pronounce it?
And I think he's going to be a big driver of the show because my whole TikTok feed is 12-year-old thirst trap edits of him.
Oh gosh, really?
It's like slow-mo and stars and
I don't know how to take that.
It's fun.
Emmy Raver Lampton, of course, she's brilliant. David Diggs's longtime partner. They met in Hamilton, the original cast.
Wholesome.
So that's really cool. Aiden, who is number 5, he's aged a little bit. I mean, you can't be a 13-year-old boy
and not grow up.
Yeah. But it's cool, like, you know.
It's another metaphor. For you, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's really nice.
Film school.
Well, you're so good. so I'm looking forward to not having to end Umbrella Academy with the season 3 finale. Do you watch Succession? I don't watch Succession.
I do not.
I've heard it's really good and I've heard people love it, but I just haven't.
Every person that has a 9-to-5 job and wears a suit every day has told me to watch Succession.
Okay.
And that's maybe why I haven't.
Right.
I just like to, you know, screw the system.
Oh, you're such a rebel.
Tell me what to do. I'll do the opposite.
Okay. Well, they've announced that production on season 4 has started. It'll be 10 episodes long. And it's been a fair bit of press and publicity around it this week. So they've put trailers out and everything. So people are starting to get really pumped for this. But I haven't seen a release date, so don't get too pumped.
I won't. Don't worry.
Calm down, okay? Unless you're a massive Kieran Culkin fan.
You know what? I need to have a little self-lesson here. Mm. It actually does sound like a show that I would be interested in. It ticks all my boxes, and yet here I am being stubborn and not watching it because someone told me to watch it. So it's on my to-do list.
Yeah. I think sometimes people have to deliver their show recommendations in a certain way. You can't be, this is the best show ever, you must watch it.
Uh-huh.
You go, I reckon, check it out, see how you go.
Do you have one of those, like that one show that you can't even describe how good it is that everyone needs to watch?
Yeah.
But you cannot put enough emphasis into how badly people need to watch it.
Yeah, of course, that's anything with Jennifer Saunders in it. Primarily absolutely fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like most people who were around when it was being made over the massive amount of time it was being made know about it. Or now there's like new generations that need to discover it themselves. And the problem is I'm not sure if all of the jokes land because like they're horrible characters in the best possible way. But I think they can still be politically incorrect because they were politically incorrect back then.
At the time, sure. Yeah.
But having said that, they had so many seasons that were, you know, 3-4 years apart that it changed anyway.
Yeah.
And the movie's only a couple of years old.
Yeah.
But people do. But also, I don't want people I only want to recommend it to people I think are going to enjoy it, because I don't want them to say it wasn't that good, because then I have to just pretend they don't exist anymore.
And then they're dead to you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I relate to that. Mm. My show is Years and Years. Have you seen it? It's on SBS On Demand, I believe.
Is that the one with Emma Thompson?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I cannot emphasize. It is just so incredibly relevant. It's well written. It has every element of entertainment needs. It's funny.
Cool. Yeah,
it's
cool.
Drama. So
and Emma Thompson.
And Emma Thompson is my queen, and she is amazing. But just a pre-warning, this show will send you into a very meta spiral.
Yeah, I was worried about that because I think it came out in about 2020 or 2021.
I'm not sure.
I feel like it's got a pandemic thing in my head. Yes. Like a connection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it was politically relevant with the US.
And Brexit? Voting.
And Brexit, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so, I'm going to go home and watch it later.
I'm going to have to start it. Maybe I do have a better frame of mind to watch it now.
Mm.
I put it off because I was like, oh, looks good.
It's heavy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
We will be talking more about Obi-Wan later, but I just want to say the numbers, like Disney's actually released numbers about how many people have watched this thing.
Mm.
The finale I mainly want to talk about, but what they do is they count over the first 5 days of it coming up on stream.
Mm-hmm.
In size. This is just the US. So remember, the rest of the world is not counted in this, but 1.8 million households watched the finale, which I think is amazing. Book of Boba Fett only had 1.5, and to me, that's impressive because
that's,
I don't think many people – I didn't think many people continued through that season, but maybe they did. This definitely makes me realize why, as soon as the finale came out, they were all like, you know, if the fans want it, we can make an Obi-Wan second season. Do you want us to? We could. Do you want us to? Do you want us? And everyone's like, oh, you know, like inhale to reply, and they go, all right,
okay.
We'll make it. All right, far out. Really, really quickly, Christian Bale said, because I don't know if you're a Batman fan. I'm not a massive Batman fan, but I've seen the Christian Bale Batman. Yeah, I've seen that Batman. Mm-hmm. I've seen that trilogy, I should say. He said he wouldn't mind being Batman again, only if Christopher Nolan was the director. I just think, though, without knowing Christopher Nolan as a person,
mm-hmm.
but just thinking about the kind of creative frame of mind a director would have,
uh-huh.
if they did a trilogy of a franchise or a character 10-ish years ago, they've probably moved on.
They've probably moved on, yeah. But you know what? Maybe he paid him to say that. Maybe there's some formal arrangement, necessity, obligation to fulfill. You never really know. And also,
oh yeah, that's a good point.
Not to get too negative. I'm feeling like I'm in a negative mood right now. I apologize. It's hump day. I should be in a positive mood. But in my very humble opinion,
yeah,
I think that there's a theory floating about where there's a lot of films created, particularly in Hollywood, in the US, that movies are a tax write-off. And sometimes you got to spend
To make.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm just being too negative Nancy right now.
But there might be something to that, right? Mm-hmm. Like we were just talking about Obi-Wan second season where they're like, we'll make it if you want. You will make it. This might just be them saying, all right, Kristen, can you say that?
Yeah.
Put the feelers out, see what the internet thinks.
Uh-huh.
And if they're like, yes, or they're like, whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we should now change this podcast into conspiracy watchers.
Mm.
We should just delve into all the conspiracies around every single bit of media coming out.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because it's more specific conspiracy. It's not just every conspiracy ever. It's like movies and TV show conspiracies.
I'd watch that.
I would listen to it.
Listen even more.
Probably. Yeah, you'd be so. Now, this is more of a story for Tom,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like I should probably talk about it, even though he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
So Comic-Con I'm pretty sure he's gone to the US to go to Comic-Con before.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it's definitely something he loves. But they're saying that don't expect any major DC movie announcements because Warner is not going to have a proper presence at the convention floor. So Warner does DC stuff, so like your Batman stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm wondering about Christian Bale. Now I'm thinking about it. Well, I'm connecting all these
right,
dots.
Connect the dots. Everything is a marketing tactic, right?
Really is.
Yeah. And being
it really
like
is.
An uproar of why won't they be there? What does this mean for the future? Et cetera, et cetera. And then the uproar happens of bring them in. So then,
all right, we'll
bring them
in. Here's Christian Bale and Nolan North. Nolan North might be there. I think he's voiced Batman before. But Christopher Nolan will be there and they're like, yeah, they're going to make a Batman movie. It's Comic-Con. It's brilliant.
We didn't even know we wanted that. There you go.
I'm exhausted by it. But shows that definitely will be there. Stuff from Discovery Channel. House of Dragon will be there. So a bit of Game of Thrones stuff if you're interested. Do you like the Sandman?
Oh.
Mr. Sandman. Yeah. So the Neil Gaiman show that's going to be on Netflix, I think it's Netflix, is going to be there as well. So he's going to do a Q&A and everything.
Cool.
So that'll be cool. But we just don't know if there's going to be much Batman stuff.
Yeah, right.
Would you and have you seen the latest Batman? The Batman. It's just that a few people have said it's quite long. It's very dark. Some people have said it's boring. Other people say it was really good. Two people have said they've watched it twice. The first time they quite enjoyed it. The second time it dragged.
Interesting.
But also, why would you
Well, if it's, you know what, if it's dark, that tickles my fancy a little
bit.
Yeah,
okay.
Just giving a bit more of an edge to the classic superhero storyline.
Yeah.
I enjoy that a lot more. I wouldn't leave my home to go to a cinema and buy $17 popcorn to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it was on my television and I had my $3 Woolies popcorn.
Sometimes it's on special for like $2.50.
That's even more incentive.
Yeah.
Then I would watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw a great tweet this morning and I'm never going to find it because that's how social media works. Mm-hmm. News feed, you can't ever find anything that you saw glanced at once. But someone said, I would pay more money to watch. I think it was the Auntie Donna. Actually, it was Auntie Donna's Twitter account. They said, I would pay more to watch a film that's under 2 hours. And I was like, hell yeah, I think I would too. I don't want to watch the long ones anymore.
Maybe that's another conspiracy theory. Because
Go on.
Well, you're going to be sitting there for 3 hours. 2.5, whatever. You're going to get hungry.
Yeah.
You're going to get thirsty.
I need to go to the loo.
Well, I was going to say go to the loo, but I don't know how you could make money. Oh, it just came to me.
Yeah, how?
You're sitting, having a nice wee, looking in front of you.
Yes.
Big old movie poster in front of your eyeballs.
The Batman.
Oh, cracked it.
In radio stations, if you go into the bathrooms, the radio is on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, that's kind of funny, but it's not. It's actually so that if the announcer goes to the toilet during a song or the news, they can hear that nothing, that the stuff is going to air and or when something's going to finish, right?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Why don't in movie theaters they just have a little screen on the back of every loo of the film that you've been watching so you can sit in there, you don't miss out?
I guess it's probably harder to moderate. Like people could...
Which one?
Record it easier, the little screen.
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah,
true.
And then you could just pop in the loo and then
and
watch
a frame movie. It'd be expensive, really, for them to do that.
Yeah. Hmm. I want to focus on just a wee, you know? I don't want to have to multitask.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fair enough.
My brain's not big enough to do that.
Multitasking was so 10 years ago. Now we just all embrace the fact that we're not going to do it. Yeah, we're not going to multitask. And if we attempt, we're not going to do it well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As someone who spent like an hour today trying to figure one thing out, I understand what you're saying. Spent a lot of time on that. Still haven't fixed it. Yeah. But that's a job for after this.
That's a later job.
It's a later job. This has been fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed catching up with the news. I know now that we're going to have to get you in for a bit of Hallmark Christmas movie stuff in December.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're going to lock that in. That's going to be good. Maybe we should just kick Tom out for that episode and just have you, me and Steph in here.
I definitely have more of a drive about Hallmark, if you're listening. Contact me.
What do you want, though? Do you want to be in the film or you just want the films brought?
My acting skills would definitely be just as good as the current actors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be in a Hallmark movie.
Oh, why not? I just need to ask you really quickly then, if you like Hallmark movies, what about that show Virgin River? Because that's along the lines.
I have never heard of this show and I want to know more.
Okay, I'm so glad I've spoken about this before Stephanie's in the room because she will be shocked about this. It's on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically just maybe two or three seasons of an extended Hallmark movie.
I love it. I'm going to base my whole personality on this show after I watch it.
Now you know what you're going to do every single lunchtime for the next month.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Virgin River. Like even the name, right?
Yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
We will have listener questions coming up for us later on in the program, which will be a lot of fun. Let's see what Adan thinks, you know, just throw them at him.
Yeah, he's got a big, nice brain.
Yeah, and I thought it'd be better than a quiz because, you know, instead of me trying to stump Tom, it's just us having a chat.
Yeah.
Having a chat, getting to know each other. On that note, Rose, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. Any sponsorships are welcome.
Mainly from Hallmark, though.
Mainly from Hallmark. RuPaul's Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
I look great in a wig, I assume.
Not tested?
Not tested, but I have the confidence.
Yeah.
You know, you got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So we've got Adan in here taking over from Rose, who apparently doesn't watch that much. Adan, what do you reckon? How do you not consume stuff?
Busy people, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think people consume stuff,
yeah.
But it's not like, it's like I'm on TikTok.
Yeah.
You know, I'm consuming an hour of this instead of an hour of something.
Yeah, something real. All right, so I was going to ask you, do you find yourself spending an hour on TikTok or not really?
No.
It's not your thing. Do you even have the app?
I do have the app. I never use it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time that I opened it. and I don't know if it's a good or bad thing because I do feel like I am missing out.
Yeah.
But I also don't get sucked into those holes that I hear a lot of people end up in. So
yeah, you're able to watch stuff that we can then talk about on podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, we've also got a few listener questions later on, so I'm not going to do a quiz and you don't have to answer the quiz questions correctly.
Okay.
We're just going to answer the listener questions in a rather casual manner because sometimes I really like to try and stump Tom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like try and make them as difficult as possible.
Right.
Unfortunately, he usually gets most of them right, but we can't get these ones wrong. It's not possible.
Okay.
So that's good.
No wrong answer.
No wrong answer. I want to get into Star Wars first because I haven't had a proper chat about the season finale of Obi-Wan, which some people enjoyed, some people didn't. Some people were like, oh, the beginning was okay and then the end was okay. The middle was not fantastic. But I guess it's all a journey. Where do you sit?
I definitely sit in that sort of party, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think the start was awesome. I think the end was good. I think there was a bit of a lull in the middle, you know.
Yeah.
I think, the turning 6 episodes probably could have been 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a Star Wars fan, there were a few – I think the show had – everything it needed to be excellent, but it needed just a little bit more before and after. Sort of, I think the script needed a few people to look at it a few more times and say, well, that's kind of a bit silly. Let's not write ourselves into a plot hole here every 20 minutes. I think I wanted more out of the visuals. I wanted more out of the music.
When you say visuals, are you also referring to Tatooine? Like, are you now ready for them to stop using that set as much? I mean, this one was important for it to be set there, but I'm kind of itching for some other places now.
I think that's part of the problem. We've seen a lot of this planet, and they've got this great set for it, and, you know, get your money's worth, use yeah, it. Totally. I think that's great, you know, and there's a lot of stuff going on Tatooine, so yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
But with that being said, the Star Wars galaxy, it's a galaxy. It's huge, right?
Almost infinite, right?
And we saw one pretty interesting planet in that second episode, that kind of cyberpunk sort of.
Yeah, that was cool. Blade Runner.
Yeah, mm. That look. But there are so many possibilities. Generally, I thought, you know, the locations chosen were not that inspired. They didn't look that nice on camera, like very simple set design, especially that first duel between Vader and Obi-Wan.
Now,
I mean, where was that? Just like some quarry.
Was that the one with the fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very, it's just like open, you know, that could have been Tatooine at night and I wouldn't know the difference.
It probably was Tatooine at night, like the set. Yeah, you're probably right. I reckon what I enjoyed about Obi-Wan is seeing just how powerful Darth Vader actually was in, I would say this would be his prime, right? As Darth Vader, this is his prime. And just seeing how incredibly powerful, which makes, then it makes why A New Hope, that makes why so many people are scared of him, and he's frightening, you know, because he doesn't just choke people, which is what we saw in that. He actually does a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, he's scary.
Yeah.
And I like that they really stuck to that.
Mm.
And again, what I'm liking is this, ever since the prequel trilogy,
yep.
We've had more emphasis on the fact that Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker under that helmet. And we get a bit more of that here, which I think is great. So some of his dialogue's a bit cheeky, you know, and some of his aggression and some of his moves, it's very much mirrored in it mirrors Hayden Christensen's performance yep. as Anakin. Yep. And of course we had him in the role, which was really, really awesome to see.
I didn't think that was going to – I was trying to figure out where he was going to sit, because, I mean, they announced that he was going to be in it quite early. And I thought, are there flashbacks? They're going to have to de-age him? And they did, but it makes more sense now, particularly watching that last episode. I'm like, oh, cool. And I really liked where they were going in and out of Darth and Hayden's voice. Sorry, Darth and Anakin's voice. I thought that was so clever, just from like a sound design wise.
Oh, yeah, I was super impressed with that. That was just, yeah, that sounded so good. And it's not something we haven't seen before.
Mm.
In Star Wars Rebels, there's a very similar moment where, and spoilers, I guess, if you haven't seen it, but in the second season, I won't give away too much, but sure. Essentially the same sort of idea. There's a duel with a character that Anakin was once connected to, and his helmet is damaged, and we don't get Hayden Christensen, we get the guy who played him in Clone Wars. I think his name's Matt Lanter.
Yeah, okay.
We get that layered on top of James Earl Jones.
Nice.
But it's like, that moment is really good, but I think this actually just stepped it up a level in Kenobi. That was just so well mixed.
It was so well mixed, and I don't think I've seen anything quite like that in a Star Wars movie or series before, where the audio was so – suddenly it was the star of that scene, and I really liked that.
Yeah,
that
was really super, it was fantastic.
So you spoke about which one? You spoke about Rebels.
Yeah.
How much of the other stuff, like the animated stuff, have you watched?
I have watched all of the Clone Wars,
mm-hmm.
The 3D one, the 2D one as well, which isn't canon but is really good and worth checking out, as well as Rebels. I haven't seen Star Wars Resistance, which is the one set more around the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, okay. And Bad Batch?
Oh, yeah. And Bad Batch, I have seen the first season. And I think there's a new one coming out soon.
So I've tried to watch Clone Wars a couple of times and I just haven't gotten into it. So I'm up to my third attempt now because I want to know I want to know that part of the story. What would you say, should I be watching that or Rebels? What do you reckon I should start with?
Clone Wars is a good starting point.
Yeah, okay.
Because Rebels is its own thing. However, a lot of the stories from Clone Wars continue mm-hmm. and conclude in Clone Wars.
Okay.
And a lot of those stories that have run through Clone Wars and Rebels are now starting to show up in the live action shows as well. So we're seeing things in The Mandalorian. We're seeing characters like Ahsoka
yeah.
getting her own show. And from what we've seen, there's going to be a lot more characters pulled straight out of animation into the live action space, which yeah. is really exciting.
Mm.
I find it interesting that you say you attempted Clone Wars a few times.
Yeah, the way I perceive Star Wars and the way I've grown up with it is the movies, right? So there's that tone. But Clone Wars, at least the beginning, is very different. Like it is definitely more, hey, it's a cartoon, you know? And mm-hmm. even some of the way that they deliver lines, you're like, this is cartoon delivery. But I know that there's story in there, and I want to be able to watch the series, the future series, and go, oh, I know exactly where this is going because I've seen Clone Wars, and I know that this character is going to potentially introduce us to this storyline or this other character. I want to be able to do that. It would be cool.
I would say Clone Wars is a bit like that, where there's a bit of an adjustment period, both for the viewer and I guess as you watch the show, it becomes more comfortable with itself.
Yeah, okay.
So it does start off a bit more, I guess, kid-friendly, and then you have like darker moments in there. But I think as it goes on, it gets more comfortable. And as a viewer, you also get more comfortable and engaged. The quality of the writing and the quality of the animation
yeah.
Does also improve substantially with each season. And the beauty of it is that it's an anthology, right? So there's actually a lot that you can kind of skip if you're not finding that it's working for you.
Yeah, okay.
Ask any fan and they'll put you together or look up online. Like someone can put you together a list of essential episodes that you will get the most out of the show.
And not get confused.
Like there'll be bits and pieces of gaps, but the sort of general gist of where things are going, you'll get it. And there's, I firmly believe like that some of the best, if not the best, Star Wars stories are within the Clone Wars show.
I've heard that before. So I'm going to try really hard and stick with it. You should hold me accountable, actually. How many episodes are you seeing?
I'll send you the list. I've sent it to a few people.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I would really appreciate that. So Star Wars, obviously something that I've always loved ever since I was a kid, and it sounds like you are pretty much the same. But I've watched something newer this week. I've watched the whole entire series on Netflix of Man versus Bee. This is the Rowan Atkinson series. Because Tom was talking about it. He said, I'm going to watch it. And I went, oh, okay, like I'll watch the first episode and see. The episodes are really quite short. They're maybe 15, 16 minutes each.
How bizarre. Yeah, because I heard about that and I thought, oh, this looks like a fun movie. Oh, no, it's a TV show.
It's a TV show.
There's a whole season of...
Honestly, it could have been a movie.
Yeah.
Because the episodes are not that long and they literally carry on straight away from the other one. I would say if you like your Mr. Bean, it's kind of your Mr. Bean humor, but there are some moments in it. And I don't know if going back and watching Mr. Bean now, it would be the same case, but some of the jokes are so signposted that you're like, oh, okay, so this is going to happen. And then this and this and this and this. It's like it's that disaster humor. You know what I mean? Like something goes wrong and then it's a chain reaction, things that go wrong. But having said that, I did quite enjoy it. And it's, it doesn't outstay its welcome. It doesn't demand that much from you. It's not like, oh, it's just to be continued and there's another 45 episodes and they're all 3 hours long. I know it's just like a 15-minute episode. You're going to be okay. Get through it. I think there was maybe, I can't even remember, maybe 9 or 10 episodes. So and, it's movie length.
Is it, are we looking good for season two?
I honestly don't think there would be one.
Man versus mosquito.
Yeah, maybe.
That's actually how I feel sometimes.
Do mosquitoes like you?
Oh, they love me.
Oh, it's so annoying when that happens, isn't it? And then the person you'll be with, they go, oh, no. Mosquitoes hate me. They're like, yeah, because they're full. Because they've eaten all of my blood, the vampire insects. Yeah, so annoying. But, yeah, man versus bee. If you're looking for something particularly like as a family, I reckon if you've got kids, because, yeah, Mr. Bean is super kid-friendly because Mr. Bean is basically a kid. That's what I always thought about him. I think man versus bee is a good one to sit down with the kids or watch it during your lunch break. Mm. Doesn't take long.
True. Get an episode or two in.
Yeah, something light and easy.
Getting lost in Robert Ford's narrative. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
What have you been watching recently?
In the interim of waiting for the second half of Better Call Saul's final season.
Oh, yes.
Have been rewatching Breaking Bad.
For the second time? So this is the second time you've watched it?
This is, yes, the second time. Yeah. Now I'm watching it with some of my family who haven't seen it, so it's a lot of fun.
Is it just as good as the first time?
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a few years, so, but it's fantastic. It's really good.
It's one of those shows that I think holds up more than other classic shows. Like you hear about, oh, The Wire is classic or The Sopranos is a classic one, and yeah. But it's all those I think now are always spoken about after Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad is like the one.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I think the just the quality of the writing and the performances, it's just timeless.
Yeah.
It's just held up so well.
Which is great, right? Because, yeah. I mean, when did it first come out?
Like, I think season one was 2008.
That's crazy. That's only 10 years ago. That's wild. And it's so funny that he came from
was it Malcolm
in the Middle? He's such a different character, which, you know, he's an actor, so he should be able to play different characters. But
now he's like, now the cast are like inseparable, right? Yeah. So the guy who plays Gus Fring, he's just Gus Fring, but in everything now. He's the same guy.
Do that. Yeah, do that character.
It's the same character, and I've seen him, in The Boys, in Star Wars.
Yeah.
He's in Far Cry.
Is he in Far Cry?
He's in one of the Far Cry games. I think the latest one, yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, of course. He's like the leader of what,
you know,
the,
how everyone has country. A big villain. He's the big
villain. Yeah, he's the big bad. Yeah, for sure. I never watched Better Call Saul. Do you reckon it's too late to get into it?
Ooh, I think it depends. If you're the kind of person who goes online and is prone to start watching clips and things, and then inevitably YouTube is going to suggest you a massive spoiler, and because Better Call Saul is happening now, it's kind of on everyone's minds, and there's a lot of it going around, right? But if you're not that kind of person, go for it.
Yeah, so be very wary of the internet once I start. Yeah.
Otherwise, I would wait like a few months and then I would start.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's as good as Breaking Bad, if not better. And it's actually run longer.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it has. And I just think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be like, oh, now what do I do when it finishes? There's a lot of people going, should I? Maybe I'll just do a rewatch.
Well, that's kind of how it's always been, because it's been 2 years since the last season.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And here we are waiting again.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of a while, I feel like it was ages between, and it wasn't, Umbrella Academy season two and now three. Three's out. I'm about halfway through it. The last one I binged, I couldn't stop watching it. But this one, I've decided not to do that. Same with Stranger Things. I'm just going to watch them as I want, because I don't want to go through it all and and then, like, when the next season comes out, be like, this recap had better be good because I have no recollection of what happened because I watched it over the space of 2 days. But I think if I take my time, I retain.
Yeah, you have more time to process.
Yeah, exactly. More of the information and the because you know how Umbrella Academy is just crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
I've seen the first season and
that's, yeah,
I don't remember much about it other than that it was
crazy.
It was fun.
Yeah,
it was fun.
It's a good and this one continues that exact same vibe. Like that has not changed even through season two as well. I just like that we can have this sprinkling of stuff where when it comes up, you're like, "Am I in the mood to watch this?" And then you start, and you're like, "Oh no, I am. I'm in the mood to watch this kind of show." It's really super refreshing.
Yes, they do want to build a snowman. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
We'll get to these listener questions soon, but I don't want to talk about any shows. I just want to know what you've been playing lately.
What have I been playing? I recently played this really fun indie game called Inscription.
Now, I've heard about this one, but I haven't really heard about it. I've just heard people say it's really good.
It is. It's kind of... it's part horror, it's part, well, I guess first and foremost, it's a card game.
Right.
Deck building.
Yep, yep.
It's a bit roguelike in some elements. It's a little bit spooky, some horror energy in there. And it's also kind of an escape room as well.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, and then just when you think you know what it is, it kind of turns everything around and says, "Nope, I'm something else now."
Oh,
and does that a few times. And it's, I guess the best thing I can say is if you are interested,
yeah,
to go in, the less you know, the better.
Okay.
With this.
So it's all about the surprises. It's all about. So you, where did you play it? Just on PC?
I played it on Steam. I think I bought it on sale.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
How much was it?
I think it was about $20 on
sale. That's all right.
I think I got my money's worth. Yeah. I'm still playing it. Like, once you finish the game, you unlock a kind of endless mode with challenges, and it's very fun. It's extremely fun.
Inscription. I did hear a lot of people talking about it towards the end of last year, like saying that that was their game of the year. Would you say so far it was your game of this year, or has there been something else that you've enjoyed more?
I have only really had the time to play two games this year. Mm-hmm. So that's been the first one. And then the second one, which should be, I guess, no surprise, is Elden Ring.
Oh, of course. Yeah, right. So do you like those From Software games a lot? Is that your kind of thing? Because I'm a bit scared to get into this one in case I get really frustrated with the bosses.
Yeah, I think I have been a big FromSoft fan since Dark Souls 2. I love the art design. I love their kind of the storytelling in their games, even though it's like so cryptic and so, I like that implicit storytelling rather than having, you know, an in your face story. Mm. And it's very satisfying because they're so challenging. They tend to be, They force you to learn them, and then it's more satisfying to overcome the challenges, and then I find that they're more memorable as a result, so they really stay with you.
What are some of your top bosses from it then? Because if others have played it, I'm sure they've got a short list as well.
Top bosses. I love the bosses in Bloodborne. I love one of the earlier ones in Bloodborne, Father Gascoigne, is just like such an intense fight. He's kind of he's a hunter as well, like you, but he's kind of lost his mind. And then you encounter him and he's saying all sorts of cryptic things.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then it's just like so tense. The music in that fight is so you know, I don't know how to describe.
Making you sweat as you play.
Yeah, it keeps you on your toes. And then halfway through the fight, he transforms into a werewolf. And then it's like, and the music elevates. And then you're like, it's just so stressful.
More.
But it's all the more satisfying to beat him.
Yeah, great.
And then, yeah, there's another hunter fight towards the, which is more or less the last boss of the game, depending
okay.
on which sort of ending path you've taken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where that one of the characters who has been guiding you along your trip, he's been sitting in a wheelchair the whole time in the hub area, and then he gets up. And now you have to fight him.
Sneaky bugger.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, sneaky bugger. And I've encountered stuff like that in another game that I probably won't say the name of because it would be too much of a giveaway for the twist. But yeah, that you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. You had me fooled.
Yeah, I did not suspect you at all. Yeah, right. Okay, so I think I'm going to have to check Inscription out. I think it sounds worth it. But you got to do it on PC, right?
I think at the moment it's only on PC.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they are working on a PlayStation port.
Okay, all right, maybe I'll wait then. I mean, I'm still discovering Horizon Forbidden West. I'm still destroying robot animals and dinosaurs.
How far are you into?
I'm pretty far, but I was casually watching a stream that where they were not playing that game, and then one of them said, oh, is it true that you can do this in Horizon? And the guy that the other guy just kind of froze. He's like, I'm not answering that. I was like, damn it, I would have really liked that to have been a surprise, but now I know that I can that. I'm like, yeah, really disappointed. But the rest of it has been pretty good. I still reckon the first one was better just because I like the story more and the storyline and how it made you discover it in a really interesting way, because you feel like, because it's an open world game, you feel like you're discovering it in your own way. But they're obviously telling the game design is steering you
they're
towards
nudging you
it.
Along
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and I just think it's really clever. So yeah, all right, I'll put Elden Ring down, but yeah. Inscription I think first.
I think so. I think Inscription's a bit more digestible.
Yeah, cool.
It's easier to just get into. Elden Ring is more of a commitment, but if you're talking about those sort of story nudges and open worlds, and
it's in there.
Elden Ring is up there with the best. Yeah.
All right. Do you want to answer some listener questions?
Why not?
All right. This one's from Daniel. He said, "Do you prefer to read a book or listen to the audiobook version?"
Ooh, good question. I love a good audiobook.
Yeah.
But I think I prefer to read it because an audiobook takes away from, I think, what your imagination can do.
Mm.
So you don't really get to choose in your mind what a character sounds like.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And I think it really does rely on the person reading the audiobook.
100%.
For them to be able to do the different voices and make you not realize, because it's often just the one person, right? So it can be a man or a woman, but they have to do both male and female voices without it sounding like they're going, oh, I'm a lady or I'm a man. Like it has to sound convincing, but yet sometimes you're like, who is this character that they're being? Because it sounds exactly like three others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had to suffer through both sides of the spectrum where it's one narrator and they're incapable of doing the voices, and the other side is every character has a unique voice actor and it's so overproduced.
Yeah.
And just gives
I'm
you a
not
headache.
A fan of those ones, to be honest with you. I kind of just like the one narrator.
Yeah.
I think if it's a book that, if it's a really, sounds stupid, if it's a really long book and I know that I'm going to let that sit on my bedside table and not read it, even though I probably would like the storyline, I'm going to listen to the audiobook version. But if it's a story that I know is going to captivate me before I go to bed every single night, then I'd rather read. Yeah. But I do both. I definitely do. I think it depends on who you are and what kind of stories you like as to how you want to digest it. Like, for example, if it's a autobiography or something like that, like a comedian reading a book. Like there was a Kitty Flanagan one where she had like 234 rules about the world or something like that. And I listened to her because I was like, well, she's going to deliver the jokes exactly how she wanted to, where in my brain I probably am not going to do it properly when I'm reading it. So same with years ago I read the Tina Fey, is it called Bossy Pants, I think? I said, no, Tina, just read it to me. Just read it. That's how I want it. All right. Marcos has said, what's the show or series that you really enjoyed the first season of and for no reason just jumped off it? Oh, man, there's so many of those over the years, right, where you're like, ah, really like it. In fact, I've got an opposite one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember there was, I think it was a trilogy. Maybe they made four films out of it. I can't remember. But there was a book trilogy called Divergent.
Yep.
And it was like young adult. And I really liked the premise of the first book. And then I read the second book and I was like, this is not. And then I read the third one, like, oh, this is a bit rough. This is not. I think they gave up with the movies.
I don't think they didn't finish it. I don't think they got to number three or four.
Yeah, it's but so you that's know kind what? Of the opposite.
You know what? I think a lot of YA type stories lose the grip after the first one. I found that to be the case with the Maze Runner series.
I watched those.
Yeah?
Yeah, I watched those and you're right. I just was like, oh, I'm not interested now.
Because the second and third was just such a departure from the first one, which was so engaging.
Yep.
It just sort of relies on your attachment to the characters, but, you know.
Same world but different premise, you know. I completely understand. For shows, you know, I'm trying Clone Wars again, so maybe that's one that I could put down on the list. But I think it shows like, although I did end up finish it, but like something like Mad Men where you're like, that was really good. I'd probably be happy if this was the end of it. Same with Westworld, actually.
Oh, that was actually my answer. First season. Yeah. That's a masterpiece of a, you know, 10-episode series.
And you don't need more of the story.
Yeah, I was so surprised when they even continued it.
Yeah.
But it's still going. Still going. Season four now.
Yep.
Just started.
Yep. I need to finish watching season three first.
I haven't. I watched season two and
yeah, fair enough.
That was kind of
the
sign of
You're like, no, I just don't think about that one. I'm just living in Westworld. Yeah. Tara says now it feels like everyone's going overseas for holidays. Where's the first place you'd like to visit? Well, I think I've said this one before, but just before the pandemic, I was supposed to go to Japan. That's still on my list.
Hmm.
What about you?
I don't actually really know. I don't have an answer for that, to be honest.
Is that because you're just so used to not going anywhere?
Yeah. I've really been grounded for the last couple of years. Yeah. I'm keen to travel around Australia.
Nice.
I think before I start to branch out overseas.
And would your first branching be sort of like New Zealand, where it is a different country, but in your head you're like, it's domestic flight.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'd probably play it safe.
Yeah.
Although I do know what our whoever's asked this question, what was it?
Tara.
I do know what Tara is saying because, yep, everyone's.
You know, there's so many people.
Everyone's off in Europe or wherever, so.
Yep.
You know, I can't say it's not appealing.
Yeah, I know. But it does make your social media pages a little more interesting now because of actual photos of people doing actual things as opposed to, this is a sourdough loaf of bread I made. I'm like, I saw the other two you made as well.
100%.
Yeah. All right, last one. This is from Joe. My boyfriend shames me for watching everything on my iPad. I just don't care if it looks better on the big TV. I like the ease of being able to walk around and sit anywhere at home while watching things. How do you feel about watching on small screens?
I think iPad is fair game. I think when you're anything smaller than that is so kind of.
You're saying phone, no.
Like I'm guilty of watching things on my phone just because of
the
convenience. But it depends what I think. Like if we're talking blockbuster type stuff or, you know, something that's really meant to be quite visual, then I'm going the bigger the better. Yeah. You know?
What did you watch Obi-Wan on?
I made an effort to watch that on the TV.
I think I did a bit of both. I think I was just like, oh, iPad's right here.
That's fair enough. You know.
Yeah. I think, I mean, for me, I remember Game of Thrones was always an event, like an event television, so that was always on television. But if I was starting it now, I think I'd probably just watch it on iPad.
Yeah. I think it depends on the kind of volume you're dealing with.
Mm.
You know, if you're going into Clone Wars, I don't think it really
doesn't matter,
matters
it?
Too much, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
It's not the same level.
Just watch whatever you want.
You know, 20-minute episodes, get it in when you can, where
yeah.
you can.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, 20 minutes is perfect. Maybe I should – you know what? I'm just going to start watching Clone Wars during my lunch break and just have – like, because you get 5 of them a week, right?
Yeah. There you go.
So I'll be able to just get through it. Yeah, all right.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hire out the IMAX theater and yeah? watch Man vs.
Yeah.
B.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson and the animated bee in full view. Wow. Yes. Surround sound and everything as the bee flies past. That'd be amazing.
As the creators intended.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, this has been a lot of fun and I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to all the reviews and actually properly talking about Obi-Wan now that the season is finished. So thank you very much. Should we have you on again sometime?
Yeah, if you like. It's been a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. All right, well, on that note, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.